Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is a Lip Media podcast.
This episode of The Gays Are Revolting is brought to you by Gale.
Brewed in Adelaide, South Australia, Gale is Australia's first independently owned gay beer and cider company.
Visit galebev.com.au and use code GAYSREVOLTING at checkout for 10% off.
That's galebev.com.au and use code GAYSREVOLTING at checkout.
The Gays Are Revolting is supported by supersimplecards.com.
Don't get caught out by paying too much for a greeting card. That would be shit.
Save time and money by buying super cute cards in bulk.
Get a pack of greeting cards from supersimplecards.com with 10% off from your entire order when you use the code GAYSREVOLTING at the checkout. That's GAYSREVOLTING at the checkout. Welcome to The Gays Are Revolting, your definitive weekly source on being a contemporary gay.
We put the G in LGBTIQA+, and we're here to help you be the best G you can be.
You can find us at The Gays Are Revolting on Facebook, and also on Twitter and Instagram at Gays Revolting.
And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And joining us on the panel today is the same people we have every week.
Yeah.
We've got Kyle, who's our gorgeous resident twink. Mikey. Mikey, a fashion expert and hairdresser with the sexiest voice in Australian podcasts, A Queer World. Of course, Luke. and myself, Thomas Jaspers, the resident bitter old queen.
And owner of a beautiful little douche hound.
Oh, yes, that douche hound.
So, guys, we're back again.
Yay. They haven't kicked us off yet. Yay.
Not yet, but episode 2, let's give them a red-hot go. What have we been up to this week, guys?
I got a haircut and I came out looking like Princess Anne.
It's very becoming.
I don't know how. I've brushed it all forward and down, yeah. But I came out with a big bouffant at the front and very flat at the back. And I had to do a photo shoot that night for a comedy night. I'm really not looking forward to seeing the photo.
I am looking forward to seeing it. What is it, Prince George in the helicopter?
Oh, thank you.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I'm so glad you said that because I've brushed it all forward to try and make it resemble something that somebody less than 80 and male might wear. But I'm very conscious that I look like one of those, you know, that meme about the women with the haircut that want to talk to the manager.
Oh, my God.
Yes, I see
too many of those at my work. Yeah.
What have you queens been up to?
Got a bit wild on the weekend.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And have you cut some good hairs this week, Mikey?
Oh, I actually have done some really fun hairs. I've been working for the last 3 days and had to work on my day off. And I was like, this sucks. But it's totally fine. Like, I'm having a good time at work. I'm loving it. Good. And I'm moving house.
Oh, how exciting.
Finally.
She's moving back to the north side.
Yes. Yeah, no, I'm so excited.
And that's everybody, I think. So
nobody else, no? Okay.
No, Luke, how are you, my love?
Still getting ragged on by Tom every single time.
That is the highlight of your week.
Yeah,
it is my favorite part of the show, and I wouldn't do it otherwise. I've had a good week. I'm fully healed from my tonsillitis, which I'm sure our listeners are completely invested in the...
your physical health.
I know, right? We tune in every week to hear how my tonsils are going. But they're going well.
Good.
And
good.
I'm ready to cause some havoc this week.
Well, what's been happening? What have we been watching? What have we been doing?
Well, do you know what I've been loving on Netflix at the moment? It's kind of my guilty pleasure, but I've kind of gotten into Queer Eye. Have you guys?
This is okay. Do not call this a guilty pleasure. This
no. is not, it, okay, sorry. It's just a pleasure. Oh.
This is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. No guilt. Queer Eye.
Okay, so like the revamp. Like I never watched the old one.
Yeah,
but,
because you weren't born.
Because yeah, that might have been like something. Yeah. When was that? That was like 14 or 15 years ago, I think. Anyway, I just discovered season 2 of the new one, and of course was already like, I'm not crying. You're crying. Yeah. I just have a branch in my eye or something.
Yeah,
like it's really cute, and like it's a lot more intimate, I think, than from what I've seen of the old one.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
they, it's a lot more serious in the way that they discuss like topics like police brutality and like address things like that. Mm. And they really help people coming out with their sexuality and things like that. They're also more inclusive in the way that the old one was Queer Eye for the straight guy.
Yes.
This is just Queer Eye.
Yeah.
So they actually, I think the first episode of season 2, they've done a woman.
Mm.
Yeah. And I love a good makeover show, and it's just they're helping it's people beautiful. Live their best lives, and I love seeing the before and afters.
Absolutely. Yeah,
it's really cute, like all the episodes, and you just want to like follow all the people and like see totally. How they're going. Yeah. With
and
it.
Have you found that blog online where they so someone's been doing like researching and finding the contestants like finding from the show, and then finding out what they're up to from their Facebook pages and things like that, and how they're going now?
Oh my god, yeah,
yeah, it's really good. Yeah,
I love the cute little old that. Man from the first episode of season one, and and his marriage. I think he got married to.
Yeah, he ended up getting married. It's really interesting that you say that you notice the difference between the two series. We're so fickle, guys. When it was announced, I don't know if you remember, but when it was announced that they were bringing it back, all of the gay activists were like, this is not us, we're so much more than this, you know, we're deep and loving people and we're Linda Evangelista and whatever. And
did you stone those guys?
It's interesting because then it came out and we were like, oh, actually, this is brilliant. This is actually beautiful.
Yeah.
And I think it was the creator / producer who created and produced the original season and the remake, David Collins, who said the original series was about awareness that we exist and a presence on television. And this season is about acceptance and moving forward and like engaging with the community, which I think is really visible.
I feel like the old one was like a lot more lighthearted.
I'm biting my tongue.
Why? Why? Okay.
Mikey,
shit.
What do you have? He really has forgotten you.
Look, I hate to be the damn with Debbie, and I hate to do it straight off the
bat. Do you?
Yeah, no, I kind of like it. I kind of hate this show.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you hate about it?
I hate so many aspects of it. And I hate it being someone that grew up back in the day, Kyle.
Yeah.
When the original Queer Eye for the Straight Guy was on. And there's just something intrinsic about the concept that really rubs me the wrong way.
Okay.
Expand.
It kind of creates this dichotomy in heterosexual society that to fight for acceptance or equality with the heterosexual people, we as homosexuals have to provide some sort of service that to be of value to these people. We need to make their lives better through their fashion, their interior decorating. But I find it's just this weird standard and this really subconscious relationship that the gay community does have with heterosexual people, that we are your hairdressers and we are your interior decorators and we are your wedding planners. And that's what we're good for.
It's an interesting way of looking at it.
And I know it's a TV show. Like, no one would watch a TV show where five gay people refuse to help any heterosexuals.
I would actually watch that show.
I know that's our show, basically.
Yeah.
But, do you think the new one's better than the old one? Like, are you happier with the revamp?
Look, I haven't watched the most controversial or like the deepest episode. Yeah. Like, I didn't watch the one where the guy came out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Although I'm aware of it.
Oh my god. I was like, oh my god.
Watch the one with the Trump supporter.
That was really hard for me to watch. I got halfway through and I was just like, I don't know if I can continue.
Was that the one with the like the aggressive police brutality thing? Is that when he like his friend pulled him over?
I'm not 100%
sure. Pulled him over in the beginning. Karamo, and then he was having issues.
Have you seen the episode with Skylar, the trans guy?
Because that's in the later season. Season one turned me off.
Yeah, right.
So much. Like,
I thought that was just a beautiful cross section of the community. You know, you've got these guys that are lucky enough to be in a position where they have their shit sorted and have been able to focus on careers and that sort of thing. And then you had Skylar, who was a beautiful activist that like cares for a whole lot of people in the community that lost contact with his own family, but hadn't had time to focus on a lot of these personal things because he's the last, I think it was 8 years of his life, had been so focused on raising money for his top surgery.
Yeah.
So it was sort of this great, beautiful little way of our community. Me watching it, I was in tears just going, oh my God, I love our community. Because, you know, these gays that brought the whole thing together and helped each other out. And they learn a lot from him as well because they hadn't been involved so much in the political side of it.
See, I think I would enjoy the show much more if the straight aspect was completely absent from it.
Yeah.
The idea of that episode sounds much more up my alley. And look, I'm fully able to admit I got through maybe half of that first season and couldn't do any more. So I'm not coming from the most I haven't gone through frame by frame.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying you're wrong, Luke, but...
If everyone else enjoys it, I'm happy for you guys to have it.
Really? Because you don't seem that.
The other thing I really like, and I really don't watch a lot of reality television. Yeah. As a comedian and a writer, I kind of feel like reality television is the death of creative writing. But I really like Jonathan in the show. In fact, all of them are fantastic.
Yeah.
But I think it's really important, and we're starting to see a lot of it, and I think we sort of talked about this off-air last week about Schitt's Creek as well.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Having camp... confident men on television that aren't the sidekick or the punchline that are just there, because I'm a camp guy. I'm 31 years old, and the last few years, as I've gotten into my late 20s and early 30s, I've started feeling like I'm getting too old for this camp thing. And it's like in the workplace and even, you know, families and friends and stuff, it's like, oh, you're too old to act like that now. And so seeing people my age that just naturally act like that are strong, confident people, I really, really like him. I'm in love with
him. He's beautiful.
I
want to marry him. Yeah, I think he's one of the best people in the cast. Yeah. Like, I really resonate with him.
One of the most important people on television, I think, at the moment.
He used to bug me a lot, I have to say. Like, he's actually starting to grow on me now, but I just felt he was so extra and try hard and annoying.
See, I don't feel like that. I just feel like that's his natural.
I just thought he was trying to just like force that upon like people and just trying to like get a reaction out of people.
But interesting.
I think from watching more of it, I'm starting to think, okay, that is probably just him.
Yeah.
I think what I love about him the most is that he definitely, for me, represents me and a lot of my close friends that, like, I work with. Yeah, not only we are but no, like, we are very camp at work.
Yeah.
Like, me and the other guys at work, like, we do not dull it down for no one. I don't give a shit who you are.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're a straight 50-year-old white man. I'm still going to be me. You're in my workplace. And that, having that as representation out there is so lovely.
And also to go back to your point a bit, Luke, I mean, perhaps that's part of the magic of it, is seeing someone like that going into these environments that are predominantly straight, oppressive areas in America, and just seeing him be himself and then seeing other people learn from him and react to him and accept him is perhaps an important message, regardless of the fact that he's there to help them just by him being present in their lives.
Yeah. See, my issue with it is more this underlying sort of thing that I don't think the show is like really wholly responsible for. It's like more of a societal kind of issue. The show's made well and it's extremely successful. And, you know, I do agree that the more exposure that LGBT people get on television, the better. I guess
that's fine. You're
potentially as a gay man that provides no service to the general community, has no viable skills that I could provide. Maybe it's just
Tom's just like
maybe it's just a sore point. But for me too, like, I really like full-on depictions of homosexuality in media. Like, I'm so used to these neutered gay characters that we see. Or like even gay celebrities or personalities that are still neutered to some aspect because the sexuality part is
removed.
Is removed.
You're totally right.
When I watch these shows, I guess it's because I have a very warped view of sexuality, but if you're not like choking me and spitting on my face, I'm straight? Is this heterosexual?
I mean, I was kind of amazed. Like, Jonathan was like talking about bottoming and stuff on one episode, which I kind of really liked. Whoa.
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff I want to see more of.
I definitely want to see Jonathan bottoming. It's
My God.
Oh, he can do whatever he wants. Like, I'll give fisting a shot.
Wow, you're that. Okay. I mean, Karamo is the guy for me, but he's
a. Give me Anthony any day.
Really? Of course you want Anthony. Oh, he's so vanilla.
You'd have a nice bedroom.
You can make me avocado on toast, and I'll think it's the most amazing thing in the world.
I don't want to compliment you, Luke, but you almost look like an Asian Anthony.
I don't know what that means.
Do you reckon is Anthony the blonde one or the...
No, the cook.
Guy. He's good.
He's the cook, but it's not a cook. Like
Well, that's a new demographic. A thank you. Yeah. For years, I was just living off looking like Fez from that 70s show.
Seriously?
That was my celebrity go-to.
I'm going to have to see some photos of when you were younger.
Yeah.
You definitely don't look like
way more masculine sounding, though.
No, thank you. Thank you, Kyle.
Maybe without the moustache, I could see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll trade photos later.
All right.
Not that Tom and I haven't already.
Have we worked that out yet?
Whoa.
No. We were having a chat after our recording last week, because we live in the same area and both of us on Grindr quite a bit.
Oh, my God.
We probably shared dick pics.
Yeah. Because I don't think I'd recognize your face.
No.
But I'd recommend.
You should do like a one.
And I feel like yours wouldn't be very memorable, so that's probably.
Yeah, so I've been thinking about something this past week, because we're all, I would guess, young professionals.
Yeah.
And we all come from very different, you know, backgrounds.
Yeah,
and definitely. Our relationship with our sexuality is all very different from one another. But I did see that there's been this study that took place in the UK just recently that was actually focusing on homosexuality in the workplace and how far homosexual men in particular can progress within sort of corporate businesses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what they found is that there was a very strong sort of correlation to what we know as the glass ceiling, that oftentimes homosexual men are sort of gate locked to lower end positions. We find ourselves in retail manager positions, things that don't necessarily line up with our qualifications, our education or our skill level. So I thought it'd be really interesting for us to talk about that and our backgrounds and our experiences in workplaces and being gay in workplaces. Because I know a lot of us are really, really gay.
Big old boys.
I worked at one place once and I think I was there within the first week and I was a bit hesitant because you always test the waters. It's like telling a joke. You got to scope it out before you do the punchline.
Comfort levels.
Yeah. And I think I told one person that I was just testing it out and said, oh, and by the way, you know, my partner, my boyfriend. And he was like, oh, I knew you were gay because you were having a cigarette outside and you were singing Mariah Carey's, Mariah Carey's fantasy to yourself.
I mean, I don't like to enforce stereotypes, but
you're singing it, were you like holding your ear and doing
just like this? For no apparent reason, this car park, I decided to just do my own rendition. And he's like, I think that man's a homosexual.
That there is a homo.
But there's been other experiences that have not been so pleasant. And
I personally like being in the hair and beauty industry.
It's pretty homophobic.
I mean, it's predominantly like run by
straight. Yeah, absolutely. Like it's never ever been an issue. If anything, I have had preference over being hired compared to other people in my industry, just because it is a female dominated industry.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's ever been a time where I've had a job turned down, regardless of how the interview has gone.
Yeah.
And I put that down to not only like I'm a gay man, but it's male privilege at the same time. And I've always found it quite easy to sort of move up in the ranks in my industry. And most people that I've had as like managers or owners have predominantly been gay men or gay women. Like it's, you don't have, I guess, from my experiences, it's not a lot of like straight people in power in our industry.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. Yeah. I've got a similar experience as an entertainer. I work in the arts, but also my day job, I work in arts administration and have done since I left high school. And my CFO, CEO, and my entire reporting line down to me is either gay men or women. So I think I'm kind of lucky that I get to work in a very inclusive industry. Yeah. But then I guess the question is, have we sort of gone for jobs where we feel more comfortable, where we feel like we can go somewhere because we feel like that's sort of industries that we will be accepted in?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, I definitely agree with that. Yeah. I always had a flair for like the arts and doing hair and stuff. And I thought, you know what, this is an avenue that I know that I'll be good at and know that I'm not going to be discriminated against because of my sexuality. And I feel a lot more comfortable in this situation.
Who knows? Maybe we were supposed to be like tradies or something. Maybe. We just didn't feel comfortable.
Carpenters. Yeah.
No, I used to work in retail electronics and it was, So you
glamour.
Do see like
Dick Smith,
right?
Glamour,
yeah.
Baby.
So I mean, I didn't hide my sexuality there, but like I definitely didn't advertise it because you were like one of the boys and it was kind of like this whole thing. But my new job as of earlier this year in photo editing, my sexuality maybe like even seems more of like a boon than anything. Like, yeah, it seems celebrated at work. So my boss, I have two bosses. One is gay and his best friend is a nice straight lady and she really supports it. I think on my
is
first...
Is she listening to this show?
I really hope not. I'm sorry if you are. But yeah, I'm pretty sure on my first day, she said she'd be really disappointed if her kids didn't, like one of her kids didn't turn up to be gay. So yeah, I feel really accepted and celebrated in my workplace. And that's a really good feeling, like from where I was. And there's quite a few gay people that have come and gone through my workplace. So,
So it's really interesting because I've been predominantly corporate.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, my whole working life.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's quite opposite
it's
to
a very
these.
Different environment.
Yeah.
And I worked for a major telco for a number of years. For some reason, I think it must have been the
money.
I think it was just a Valium or something.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
I have no idea where I was. But I was there for quite some years. And when I started, it was apparent to me that my manager or the person directly above me was also a homosexual man. So I thought I was entering quite an inclusive, accepting work environment. But what I did find, which is sort of in line with this study over the years, is that my manager, this man, was sort of shoehorned into this position and kept there and then kind of excluded from other areas of the business and movement. He loved it. He used to come to work in like frilly pirate Prada shirts and the other executives would come and like compliment his fashion and give him a pat
on the
back.
But they don't want him representing.
But he wasn't in the board meetings. And I found as I, you know, worked my way up the ladder too at that business, that there would be a point where it would stop for me as well. I was kind of the funny gay. Believe it or not, sometimes people find me funny.
I laugh at you a lot, Luke. It's just not in the way you want.
This is on the app.
And so this research kind of resonated with me on that aspect. But then I realized we do have the creative industry sort of.
We do, but I better. We start that passion in high school because that's the sort of groups that we're.
Fit into.
We fit into and we're accepted by. And so we learn more about and develop our skills in those areas naturally because we were accepted when we were quite young, when we were discovering the gravitation towards that. One of the interesting things in that study is men in top level management positions, 70% of the gay people in top level management positions had degrees, but only 57% of straight guys did. So it sort of shows that the gays that are getting there are having to work even harder to get there.
Oh, absolutely.
If that makes sense,
yeah.
So maybe we just should have worked harder?
No. And we work harder while we're drunk.
Yes.
And recovering from the night before. Yes. We do a damn good job.
I know.
Job.
I mean, I have to type with one hand because the other hand's on Grindr. Right?
But it's true. The amount of gays and guys that I know that will have degrees and not do anything with them and like they just get kind of stuck in a job and just stay there and climb. Yeah.
Has anyone ever hid their homosexuality at a workplace?
Oh, definitely.
I did, but for a very different reason. I got a job when I first moved to London at this shop, and the guy was from Barcelona, and on my first shift took me down to the basement storeroom, and I was very cute 19-year-old at the time, and started getting like very uncomfortably, aggressively hitting on me. Pretended I was straight so that I so clearly wasn't, but just to avoid his advances. Yeah, and he went to jail, not for things related to me, but for other things that he'd done. So
that was a bullet dodged, wasn't it?
It was. Yes.
When I was 16, a man paid me $50 to clear out a hidden basement that he'd found underneath the.
Stop. You have a death wish? What is wrong with you?
I need a full recap of this story.
Okay.
So he was a homosexual man. I think I'd met him at a gallery, like an exhibition opening.
I feel like this sounds like a bad porn.
Because I figured out this is a hot. No, I'm not going to say that because that might get us into trouble. It's not a hot tip for underage people, but they serve alcohol at exhibition openings.
Do what you will with that information.
So as a 16-year-old, I was like, this is my jam.
Yeah.
And I used to go to I met this guy and he was like, you're really great. I've got a job for you. Come to, so-and-so.
And I got there and he's like, I was just
pottering. This is his house?
Or this is his house.
Jesus. Oh,
and he was like, I was pottering around the other day and I moved this bookshelf and what I realized is there's a trap door underneath. Oh, I don't think he used the word trap door.
Oh my God. Maybe that's too when you're trying to lure a child into it.
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
Like, found there's a lot of candy down in my fun room. Like, trapdoor wouldn't be used.
He basically said, I need it cleared out. It's got a shitload of dirt down there. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you $50 and a bottle of wine to do it.
Oh my God. And you
did it clean out my trap door. I absolutely did it. And the funny thing was, as I was heading down, he was like, oh yeah, and by the way, there's no lights. So it's going to be pitch black. You'll have to use a little torch. And I also think it may be like an abandoned meat cellar. From like when this
if you see any bodies,
so don't worry about those bones in the corner.
Oh, no, they were hooks.
Oh, what is wrong with you?
That is terrifying.
And then I did it for a few hours. He came down to check on me a few hours later, and that's when I thought, oh, this is the end of my life, but I've had a good run.
Yeah, 16 wonderful years. 16,
yeah. Jesus. Packed a lot in. And he came down and he had a full gas mask on.
Stop.
That is so terrifying.
So I was like, oh, he's going full. I know what you did last summer. This is going to be fun. And I said, questions. Oh, hi, so-and-so. What's with the mask? And he's like, oh, I wouldn't breathe in any of this shit.
Stop.
This place is filled with asbestos.
And you're like, I'm cleaning asbestos as I can.
So it almost did kill me, but in a very different
a much
way.
Slower and more painful.
Yeah.
Luke's stories are by far the best I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
I was gay. No, I was openly gay. Yeah. Just to tie it in, I didn't hide my homosexuality.
Yeah.
SuperSimpleCards.com print from the most environmental printers in Australia.
They run on solar power, use recycled materials, and support local forest projects. So if you're an environmental gay like me, this should matter to you.
Let's add supporting local forest projects to the gay agenda.
Yeah, right under Turn Everyone Gay.
Yeah.
But with packs of 6, 8, 10 or 12 cards designed by Aussie illustrator Stacey Gargoulis, these stunning blank cards can be used for grandma's birthday, your best mate's 30th or sending sweet nothings to your new boyfriend. Obviously not you, Luke, because you could never get a boyfriend.
Who needs a boyfriend when you have access to these cheap and sleek greeting cards?
Order a pack of greeting cards from supersimplecards.com with free shipping and 10% off your entire order when you use the code GAYSREVOLTING at the checkout. That's GAYSREVOLTING at the checkout.
Join the greeting card revolution.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
I feel like I always talk about some serious stuff, but...
Me and you both.
I know, but it's stuff that affects my everyday life, and recently in a few social situations and stuff that I was thinking back on, I was hanging out with like a bunch of my white friends and just thinking about the privileges that they have that I don't experience. Like, I personally, I'm a light-skinned like person of color, so I do have a light skin privilege.
What's your background, if you don't mind me asking?
So my mom is a Maori woman from New Zealand. Okay. She moved here when she was like 16 and met my dad, and they've had kids. So all of my siblings are half caste.
Okay.
Which I shouldn't even use that term. I should say biracial. Sorry. half caste can be a very sort of triggering thing.
Halfy is so bad.
Is that
absolutely
very old? Is half caste offensive in Australia or like a generally offensive term?
Definitely in Australia. Okay. Yeah.
Definitely in Australia.
Yeah.
I grew up in South Africa, so I'm just checking.
Yeah. The words you use in South Africa, we're not going to say.
But yeah, like this big topic of discussion in my group of friends, because we are a very mixed group of people. There's been a few instances where my white friends have done things that they didn't realize were microaggressions and trying to explain that to them, and they would get quite defensive about it. And it was frustrating because it was just like, I'm not saying that you're a bad person. I'm just saying what you've done isn't okay. And I'm just trying to educate you on that, and trying to get them to empower, well, using their white privilege to empower people of color, because there's been situations where I've been like spoken down to and I know it's because I am of mixed race, and my white friends have said nothing, nothing at all. And they themselves identify as allies to people of color, but then in those instances they haven't been. And I think it's just educating those people on how to be an ally towards people of color.
So I am also biracial, and halfy is a really weird word for me. So I'm half Filipino, half Australian, and went to a public school, predominantly white. And I remember growing up, and I knew I was gay, so I was already on the out, feeling like on the outskirts of the other kids, and then trying to identify which group I could be a part of.
Yeah.
I was like, my dad's white, so I went to the skater kids, and they were like, nah, mate, go hang with the Asians.
Oh, yeah, right.
You're Asian. And so I went to the Asian kids, and I was like, I guess I'm hanging out with you guys.
Yeah.
Because I can't hang, you know, even I was microaggressing in that moment, being like, I can't hang out with the white kids. And they told me to get fucked.
Yeah.
They were like, no, halfy, you hang out with the white kids. It's similar to what we've all had to do as members of a minority, is we had to build our own community and find the other weirdos and the other people that are excluded. But it's something that sticks with you. It's something that ties into a lot of the stuff we've talked about today. But being gay and a person of color can be a very difficult thing for a lot of very little reasons. It's not the big blatant like getting pulled over for no apparent reason things. Yeah. It's like a million tiny little things that pop up.
It can be like gestures or the way that someone says something to you or...
Absolutely. The one I always point out to my friends, and this may not happen to you, Mikey, but it definitely happens to me, is if we all go out for dinner, say it's all of us, and we split the bill and we go up and people are paying. I've seen it at restaurants and I've pointed it out too, where my white friend pays and they say, yep, good. You know, they don't even look at the machine. They tap and they walk off. They tap, walk off. It gets to me and they stare at the machine.
I
tap as a person of color and they're checking, can this person pay for their meal? I do recognize that I also come across disheveled.
I mean, I've seen you at the end of drinks. And like, no, that's really, it's really
maybe if you stop trying to swipe your like library card. Like,
yeah, I have tried to pay with Mikey a few times. The card with
Mikey.
Mikey,
pay for dinner, please.
Well, I mean.
But it's little things like that, and you add being gay into the equation, and it's just a minefield for us. So it is for me.
Yeah, I've totally experienced that before. Like, it's a hideous feeling knowing that all my white friends aren't having that, I guess, same attention that you are in a negative way. It really does suck.
I think the kind of thing is what does being an ally mean? And how do we all feel? Like, I'm sure you guys feel like you were allies.
Yeah, I mean, I think, it's sort
we're not going to throw down.
Cautious
right
to jump in on this topic because I think it's more important that you guys talk and we listen in these sorts of situations.
Step on toes.
It's a really great point that you make, Mikey, about your friends who obviously are not actively racist people. In fact, no. They are allies, but they're not as conscious and aware of the things because they're not living these microaggressions that you put up with every single day of your lives.
Totally.
And it's probably something that I've subconsciously done as well. Yeah. With my friends, I haven't noticed when we're just out and about and they're getting treated slightly different in certain circumstances, mm-hmm. probably just because, you know, I grew up in the white suburbs of Melbourne. I'm just used to people acting a certain way. And so I'm sorry.
No.
It's awful. It's fucking awful. And to tie it back into what we were talking about earlier, like yes, we all have all experienced discrimination as gay men, but there are certain situations where we're able to rein in that aspect of ourselves to a degree to survive in working environments and things. You can't rein in being a person of color if you're stuck in a room with a racist person.
No.
You can't tone down how ethnic you are to get through a situation. And you shouldn't have to, and you wouldn't want to, but it's something that we can't say that we've experienced or know anything like what you guys have done in those situations.
Like on that note, I would say Mikey and I are both pretty fair skinned, and we experience it fairly commonly. And if I've got tonsillitis, I'm even fairer skin. I'm like Tom levels of white.
Do you feel like people treat you better when you have tonsillitis?
When I have tonsillitis, my life is golden. Couldn't even imagine if we were a few shades darker than what we are.
I can't even imagine.
And it's like the thing for me, my personal sense on being an ally is that you're there for those people and you stand up for them and you speak out, absolutely. But you don't speak for.
That's a very important thing, which I'm really glad that the conversation seems to be changing when you're looking at these treaty that the Victorian government's looking at signing. They've actually had Indigenous people. They're not. It's not the white, old male politicians that are sitting there writing it for them. They've had Indigenous people come in to collaborate with them and write that treaty to make sure it's in the words that make them feel like it actually means something to them.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wouldn't call this a microaggressive, I'd call it pretty macro. I met up with a guy through Grindr who was a GP, so very respectable, I'd say well-educated. Thought he was fucking amazing and had drinks, decided to go back to his place. And it was halfway through us being intimate at the end of the night
I remember this story.
He stopped and he was like, just hold on a second, babe. And I thought, it was to top up lube or something like that. And so I was like, yeah, totally fine. And he's like, no, I need to just text my friends and tell them that I'm actually fucking an Asian guy.
I can't. Can't believe that he would stop.
And that kind of comment is totally okay for so many people to make.
That is awful. How can he possibly think that would go down well?
The scary thing is not just so much.
What is wrong with you? You need to reassess your life. I'm so worried.
The scary thing isn't so much that he said it; it's that he's thinking it.
Did he ask him to clean his basement?
But then also the fact that text is going to probably a Facebook group, with four other white guys
who are having a chuckle at it. Yeah, that's really awful.
You know, it goes beyond this one person. I think even I'm so conditioned to these kind of jokes or that kind of attitude towards my race that in the moment I didn't even clock it. It wasn't until I think a couple days later when I was telling my friends about what a great date I'd been on, because it was a great date for me.
Yeah.
Wow. You don't get many, do you?
Thanks, Carl.
He's like that was great.
He's like a ninja, this guy. Oh, he's like the nastiest
he's
shit.
Well. I am
a gosh darn delight.
Okay. That I didn't even realize. And so much of my life is turning negatives into positives. Yeah. That I was scanning through that night and being like, that's a funny story.
Yeah.
This is a good story. This was a great date.
Yeah.
Not realizing this is actually really awful.
Yeah.
This is a shitty thing that happened to me.
Yeah.
And is that, do you think that you sort of didn't clock that straight away is because you've experienced so many other things
exactly.
in your life that has happened? In
exactly.
That,
that your default mechanism is like, this is funny, or how can I interpret this in a way that doesn't destroy my soul?
And I'm glad that you're a strong person and you can sit with us and sort of laugh at how shit a person he is to do something like that.
Yeah, but I always get the last laugh. And I'll tag his Instagram in the comments this episode.
Yeah,
and you guys can go nuts.
Go see Dr. O'Malley.
Send your thoughts too. I just get so offended. I mean, no, sorry. I get so worried about offending people, like asking questions and things mm-hmm. like that. Like, I just feel really cautious. And
I think any question coming from a place of love to anyone mm-hmm. about,
like, I would just be so
I'm not just talking about people of color, but anyone that comes from a different background to you, mm-hmm. religiously or sexually or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I think any question asked in the appropriate setting, wanting to learn more is an okay question to ask.
Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely. And being open to understanding that possibly your question that you are putting forward may be ignorant.
Yeah.
But being open to being like being educated about like, okay, I'm not going to like ask those type of questions. I'm going to ask in a certain type of way.
With humility. It's absolutely. About going into a dialogue with humility and being like, I am not coming from this high ground.
I have a question for you then that might... I'm very, very left-wing, but I sometimes get frustrated at the way that some conversations have on the left-wing because I don't feel like they're working towards a resolution. And mm-hmm. I'm very much like how are we going to fix this kind of a thing? And sometimes I feel like some of the conversations we're having agitate a situation or aren't even focusing on the actual problem. So I guess the first part of the question is, I feel like generally speaking in Australia when we talk about black people, we're either talking about Indigenous Australians or people who are descended from Africa.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
So neither of you would identify with black. Are there Maori people that identify as black?
Yes, definitely. But personally, I don't because I am biracial.
Sure.
I would never call myself black.
Sure.
Like in front of another person who is actually black... Yeah. I would never say it because I don't want to come across...
For you, But you would agree that in the Indigenous community, especially that no matter how dark your skin is, that a lot of Indigenous people identify as black regardless of the tone of their skin. Cool. So do you ever get frustrated as people of colour that aren't what we would call mm-hmm. black when we're having these conversations about people of colour, especially in the community? I see a lot of bloggers online and that sort of thing. And they're talking about people of colour getting represented in the community, but then only ever reference issues with black and white Australia.
Yeah, absolutely.
Personally, when I watch that, I feel like sometimes these people are looking at problems in America mm-hmm. And only focusing on problems in America. And don't get me wrong, like we have serious problems between the white and black community in Australia as well.
Yeah.
But we also have a huge Asian population and Islander population. Massively. I mean, Melbourne was established during the Gold Rush.
Yeah.
Our Chinese population is enormous. You go out to clubs in any major... Australian That's city, and there's a huge queer Asian culture.
We have the largest Chinese settlement outside of China.
The largest Chinatown in the world as well, I believe. Yeah. Now, is that a frustrating thing for you when we're having these discussions and going and then talking as if this whole mm-hmm. other segment of the people of color community is?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, without a doubt.
I love my friends. I love them so much. They're my favorite people in the world. But I've never wanted to glass someone more than when mm-hmm. I get upset about these sort of issues and my friends say, but you're not even really Asian.
Oh,
oh
my God.
Because I am biracial.
Yeah.
Or I express my frustration about something and they say, but you're only half. Oof. You're only half of it. Not... And it is a frustrating thing, but it's... It's so complicated.
It is.
It's really complicated. And I think we can't come to a solution until we identify what the problem is.
Yeah.
And a lot of these online left-wing activists, I feel like they're looking at America's problems mm-hmm. and then talking about them. And we've got our own set of problems that we need to resolve. It's the same problem I had with the new queer flag that's been designed.
Yeah.
That's a perfectly appropriate one to resolve some of America's issues.
Absolutely.
But we have a whole set of people here that aren't represented by that black and brown stripe.
Mm-hmm.
I just get really frustrated when Australians are having American conversations without realizing we've got a very different set of problems.
That's it. Like, I think I've had a lot of internal struggle personally being a biracial person because I don't fit in either category. Mm. And so, like, for a long time growing up, there was a lot of, I guess, internalized shame about being a person of color because I grew up in a white society. Like, everyone around me was white except for my family. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, oh no, I need to be white. Like, there were times where, like, I would not go out in summer because I didn't want to get more tan.
Wow.
Like, that was a thing that I thought about as a child. And then as I've gotten older, I've grown into being biracial and really appreciating what my culture is. And then it's sort of like, I love, like, that side of my life. And at the same time, I have a lot of struggle with white people and just like that internalized hatred for what's happened to a lot of black people and a lot of like biracial people, and just being like, I need to come at like a middle ground and really be like, okay, there are a lot of problems here, but I can't come at this with aggression. Mm-hmm. Like, I need to be like understanding of all sides, because I am white and I am like a person of color. Like, my mom's from New Zealand. Like, it's just really understanding both of those things internally and being okay with both.
Have you ever had the thing where this has happened to me a few times, when you're walking down the street, you pass someone and you get the flicker, just this flicker of a look of distaste on their face, and then you have to do the maths and you have to go through your head and go, which part of me
which one is
did
it?
They hate the most?
It can't be your personality, because I haven't spoken to you yet.
You know, and you see it and you go, do they hate the color of my skin?
Yes.
Do they hate my sexuality? Mm-hmm. Or do they hate my, my personality, the way I'm dressed and presenting myself? Yeah. Which one of the many offensive things about Mikey and I, not to lump you in with
me, but like,
you know, do you hate the most? Have you ever had that? Absolutely. Where you walk and you,
microaggression.
I've had a few instances. I'm not sure what to call this, but is it racist if... Well, I mean, I'm white, so I'm not sure, but... Like, no, sorry. Oh, God.
Okay. Poor, sweet, beautiful
when people found out that I've grown up in South Africa and they find out that I am South African born, that they automatically assume that I am racist because I've come from a country with a racist past.
I've made that joke at you before. I'm sorry.
But like, like, I do get offended. I don't remember when you did, but like, I've been offended by older people saying, oh, you're from South Africa, you must hate black people. Excuse me, you cannot say that.
That's not racist because your race isn't South
African. It's prejudice against you. Prejudice.
And it's just a shitty thing to say.
It is such a horrible thing to say. And like, oh yeah, you must just hate all black people. I'm like, that is so wrong and incorrect. And I can't believe you can just say that to a person.
And it's probably more appropriate to be saying that about any white Australian these days.
Absolutely.
I mean, like, after like the country's been through so much, and it is all like the older generation and everything that has all those problems.
Look, I think it's about time we talked about something that Tom can actually chip in on.
Oh, you're making a comeback.
Do you know what? Ever since the four of us met, one of the like most common topics of conversation, but something that I think we've talked about every single time we've hung out, has been Wet on Wellington.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which... Oh, here is something I can talk about.
Some of us more than most.
Just I've had this tattooed onto my wrist.
Disclaimer, Kyle has talked about it significantly less than...
Oh my God, you were saying less.
For those of you who might not be massive whores in Melbourne, Wet on Wellington is a gay sex on site premises. It's got some beautiful features, a Grecian bath, an upstairs two porn rooms, two swing rooms,
inflatable pool toys,
a dry sauna and a wet sauna, an outdoor smoking area. I mean, I don't, they're not sponsoring this show, but I just to give you context,
just to give you an over 30s night.
I would imagine all nights there would be an over 30s
night. Oh, you are darling. No,
you don't even know what you've said.
No,
you don't even know what you've said, Kyle. But I think about a lot that we talk about it so often, because it is such a significant, well, not significant, but a very uniquely homosexual male experience, which is sex on premises venues.
And it's even unique to certain cities in the homosexual. Yeah. Like, you go to Adelaide or whatever, you know, they're not going away.
Is Wet like a chain? Are there other ones?
Okay. It's franchise. Can you buy into Wet?
They were owned by the same company as the Greyhound Hotel, but luckily this business venture went better than the Greyhound did.
You know, this is spilled out into gyms or you know, it even sort of stems from Beats, I guess, is kind of...
I personally have not been to, like, sex on premises sites, and I think...
I thought you had!
No. I think it's just... It's not because I don't want to. It's just because... I haven't had a lot of gay friends. Like, that's the thing. Like, it's only like, sort of...
Of gay male friends.
Of gay male friends, sorry. I've always had, like, in my life, predominantly female friends and female influences. Like, I grew up with five sisters. Like, my mom is my everything. And so, like, it's only sort of in the last 12 to 18 months that I've had close gay friends. Mm. And I'm just like, this is something I want to do. Something I want to try. But I've never been, like... I guess, confident enough to go by myself.
Field trip. It is so close to here.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are definitely going. We're doing an episode from WET one time. One.
Yeah.
No, you're coming. You can bring your gorgeous new boyfriend. It's
fine. I love it.
I don't think we're quite there yet. As in, we will never be there.
Can I, I'm going to tell you a story. Yeah.
Tell me a story.
This is it. It's not WET on Wellington Pacific, but it's gay sauna. Okay. This is the first time I ever used amyl. I don't think I've even told you this when we've been drunk. Okay, so when I was 19 and I moved to London and I was a pretty twink,
I've seen these photos, by the way. Tom at 19, photos? Whoa.
I had a perm.
With a beautiful perm.
I looked like a hot blonde surfer. And do you know what? I was like, such a whore. I moved to London and got this perm, I was skinny and tall and beautiful, and I got a job at a theatre as an usher, and I would play up, because it was on the gay strip, this theatre.
Yeah.
So I would play up the Aussie thing so much because I knew I could get dick. Mm. So I'd be ripping people's tickets and I'd be like, right, you're sitting in row D for Dingo. You're in row B for Boomerang. Have a lovely night,
love. Oh, my God.
I love that voice.
And people would come and chat to me like at an interval, and then I'd go meet them at the bar next door afterwards for a drink and stuff, which was hot. Anyway, so I moved there, and I'd never been to a sauna in Melbourne prior to moving to London.
Okay.
And when I got there, I was like, I'm going to do this. And I was so nervous, and I was walking around. And I met this hot, slightly older couple who were, in retrospect, must have been quite high. And I was quite drunk, and we went into a room. And, gosh, I hope my family took my advice and didn't listen to this podcast.
Anyway,
so it's a couple. I start topping one of the guys while he's blowing his boyfriend. It's great. I'm so excited. I'm in London. I'm living my best life. I'm fucking this hot, muscly couple. And the guy who's getting the blowjob passes me this little bottle. And I thought, well, the last thing he passed me was lube. So this must be more. This must be more lube. So I pull my dick out of his boyfriend. He's focusing on his boyfriend. I open the amyl bottle and I just pour it all over my dick. Now, luckily, I'm wearing a condom at the time, luckily for me. And then I put my dick back in.
Stop.
So, now, for those of you listening, if you're not familiar with amyl, it's sold as leather cleaner, legally in Victoria, legally in New South Wales. And if you spill it on your skin, initially nothing really happens. But after a while, you get sort of like a burny scab.
Yeah.
And that's on your thick, like, hand skin, you know. Anyway, so I had no idea that I'd done. And so then we just kept going and finished and whatever. And then a few days later, well, no, because initially, like, amyl doesn't really have
like an odor. It smells funny.
Like the initial.
Yeah. The whole place smelled of amyl. So.
Oh, okay.
And then a few days later, I went out clubbing with some new friends, and someone passed me an amyl bottle, and I was like, oh, is this lube?
Oh, no.
And they were like, no, it's amyl. You sniff it, but just be really careful not to get it on your skin because it burns. And I was like, I put a lot of this in someone's bum. And I have felt sick about that ever since.
So you never, like, you never knew what happened to this
person? It was just a random couple. It was my first sauna experience and my first amyl experience.
Trade MySpaces or
anything? Is that the first person you killed?
MySpaces, get stuck!
Oh, sorry, before MySpaces? What was before MySpace?
It was after MySpace, fuck!
Oh my god!
I just gotta stop talking.
I don't know what would have happened. Maybe we could ask your racist doctor friend what would have happened.
Yeah, that's a hell of a story.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I beat that?
For some reason, I still do. And I still go to saunas. Yeah.
I don't know. Can you beat
the keyword?
Can you top that?
That's a word I don't often throw around. Often. I think
normally it's the tops throwing you around.
Very condensed in case my family ever listened to this.
Oh, come on.
Hello to all of our families, by the way.
Just tell it.
So I had a very charming date who decided that he would take me to a party, which I loved because I love attention and I love it from multiple sources. So I was like, yeah, definitely, I'll go to this party. Got in an Uber. He plied me with so much coke in the back seat.
Oh.
and then rocked up at Wet on Wellington and said, this is the party. So I'd never been before either. So I'd
to any sauna or just
to any sauna. Yeah,
right. Okay.
I knew what they were, but and I knew what wet was, but I'd never been. The bit that sort of pisses me off in this whole story is he didn't even pay my daughter.
If you can afford all that coke and an Uber, then you can afford the...
Come on, it cost me like $20 to get in, but I was like, okay, I'm going to go along with this because I'd gone out for the night and that doesn't happen very often. And so I went in, immediately was like very disconcerted by the fact that I'm like legally blind and it's very hot and steamy in there. So I could not see... anything, anywhere that I went, I was bumping into naked twigs.
So you were like a dream. Did you have your glasses on? They were fogged up. Or you just
No, I still had my glasses on, and I'd take them off periodically to see if it was better, which it was not. Yeah. But I was like bumping into naked twinks left, right, and center. I slapped a row of cocks trying to find my way out of the way.
It was just like a running high five.
Yeah, exactly, because I was like feeling the wall
just the cocks everywhere.
Yeah. But eventually found my way to the upstairs sex room and had sex, you know, with what I thought was my date. Was also like kind of aware that there was someone else in the room at the same time. You know how you kind of feel like...
Jesus is always in the room.
Yeah. You know when you get the feeling like, I think there's a cat around.
Yeah.
There was another naked guy in the room. I finally like cleared enough of my glasses to realize the person I'd had sex with was not the person who had taken me to Wet on Wellington.
Okay.
And the guy in the room had also taken a go at having sex with me on this night. It was a Tuesday. It was a very... rough period in my life. So I was like, I'm going to call it quits at this point. I think I've done my share.
Yeah.
And so I got an Uber back home and the Uber driver was really lovely. He actually said one of my favorite things, speaking of like weird microaggressions, is that he picked me up and he was like, are you gay? And I said, yeah, I absolutely am. And he was like, I knew it. It's because I only ever pick up gay people at 3 a.m. on a Tuesday.
Oh my God.
It's witching hour.
That's not a microaggression. I think that's just
true. It's just the truth. So a lovely chat with this guy, and he dropped me off at home, and I'm about to get out. And he's like, oh, yeah, and by the way, what happened to your hand? And I was like, what do you mean? What do you mean? Yeah. And he's like, you're covered in blood. Just so I'd let you know.
Oh, terrifying.
I looked down and my entire hand was covered in blood.
Oh, Luke, you tell me right now, have you killed the person?
I thought I'd fully like, I had no idea what had happened, but I was so like trashed on that evening that I just went straight to sleep. And about 3 weeks later, was at brunch with my ex because I like making bad decisions. And my GP called me. And I knew he was like, it's a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
So I thought, this is really shitty. Had to explain to my ex and say, hey, this is my GP calling. I had sex with two strangers unprotected at a sauna and somehow covered myself in blood. So it's been nice knowing you guys. Took the call and said, just let me know what's happened. And he's like, yeah, totally. I've got your wallet. You left it somewhere and I'm the only business card you have in there. And I said, Evan.
Gave you his business card before this?
I was very troubled in my head. I was like, Evan, I thought you were going to tell me I was positive. And he said, no, you're absolutely fine. And then it clicked to him and he's like, oh, I see how it could have come across that way.
here's a three-sentence story. I once went on Wellington and was hanging around the glory hole section.
Yeah.
So they've got this
there's
bit where
there's a glory hole
like,
section?
Oh, yeah, there's this gorgeous little suite.
I feel like that'll be my spot.
okay, it's going to go longer. Basically, there's a whole lot of cubicles and some of them you go up some steps to go into. That's if you want to get the blowjob. And then there's some other ones that are lower down and there's the holes on the other side, so it's at head height. You don't even squat down.
I'm
it's very
so
classy.
Much.
Love it. It's pretty complicated.
I don't usually go there because I like to know anonymous. I like knowing who I'm having sex with.
Yeah.
But I was hanging around that section once and there was this really hot guy hanging around the lower part, which is for people that want to get a blowjob. And I was like, yeah, I want to get a blowjob of him. So thinking that he was the only person around, I went into the higher cubicle and got a lovely blowjob and then left. And walking out of the other cubicle was a really, really good friend of mine. An incredibly good friend of mine. Walked out of the
I can't deal. I
want to
see
like, we screamed and we were gagging and it was just not.
Oh my God.
I didn't know he was there. And
stop.
Somehow, yeah, while I was going into the cubicle, he ducked in from another one. God. And, yeah.
Tom and I have never been closer.
Oh my God. Please don't tell people reference.
No.
Well, this has been a lovely episode. We've covered a very wide range of topics this evening, haven't we?
When I think wide, I think of you.
Oh, thank you. I knew there was a gag there, and I knew it was coming.
But I want to thank everybody for listening to The Gays Are Revolting, your definitive weekly source of being a contemporary gay.
Get in touch with us on Facebook, The Gays Are Revolting. We've got a Facebook page and a group. And of course, we're also on Twitter and Instagram at Gays Revolting.
And we live off your validation. So please subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mm. We'll see you at WET.
Great. Until next... No, I'm not going to say that. Oh. We will not see you at... Some of us will see you at WET probably, but not me. Bye, guys. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week with another episode.
Choose the episode.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.